In just a moment, we're going to be listening to our Queen's Road Choir singing the beautiful hymn, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear." These words were heartfelt by its author, John Newton, because after a tumultuous and rebellious youth, he came to know just how precious Jesus is to those who know him. John Newton was born in London in 1725. His father was a sea captain, quite a severe man in character. His mother, by contrast, a gentle, godly woman who devoted all her attention to her only child, John, teaching him the scriptures and saturating his young life in prayer. She died when he was only seven, never getting to see the seeds she had sown come to fruition. At the tender and vulnerable age of 11, John's father took him to sea. The young boy quickly learned the evil ways of his fellow hardened sailors. He became quite notorious for the degree of his own wickedness. He hired himself to a West African slave trader, plying the high seas in that shameful trade, which he would, in later life, strongly denounce. That man and his wife treated John Newton badly. Poverty, starvation, and a life of destitution ensued. One day, a strange ship came into the port. It belonged to a man from Liverpool, a friend of Newton's father, who had asked him to look out for John on his travels. The man took John on board for the journey back to England, but it became a perilous journey. During a ferocious storm, which threatened the life of all those on the ship, Newton began reflecting on his life. Scripture after scripture that his dear mother had taught him in childhood flooded his mind. His miserable failings haunted him. His wasted life flashed before him. Finally, the storm abated. But John Newton's life had changed forever. God had found him. A new life of endless gratitude to the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus for saving him had begun. John Newton returned to Britain, married, took a great interest in studying the scriptures in Hebrew and Greek, and ultimately trained for the Anglican ministry. He took up a curacy in Olney in Buckinghamshire. There he met a poet and fellow hymn writer, William Cowper. This writing partnership produced some 348 hymns over a 10-year period, many of which are still known to us today. Possibly one of the most well-known is "Amazing Grace," with the words, "That saved a wretch like me." John Newton was always conscious of the depths to which he had sunk, but conscious too of the wonder of Jesus' saving grace. So we're going to listen now to that hymn, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear." It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears.
Oh. writes to the Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so, we come now to our prayers of intercession, with thanksgiving to our God, who hears our prayers and will answer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fast rollout of vaccinations in our country and for the protection that that seems to have given to so many folk. Thank you, Father, for the way in which our lives are beginning to open up again, for the easing of restrictions. But we pray, Father, for those who are still very worried about this disease, many who have mental health problems exaggerated by the pandemic. Bring to them, Father, your comfort and peace which transcends understanding. We pray also for countries and peoples where there are still many daily deaths and cases of coronavirus. We pray especially for India and its peoples. We asked, Father, that governments around the world will send this vast country the aid it needs to halt the spread of the pandemic. We ask that you bring comfort to those who mourn and help those in desperate need of treatment. We realise too, Father, that there will be many other countries and peoples who do not have the funds to pay for vaccines and other treatments that they need. So we pray for our government and the governments of other rich nations around the world to share what we have. Nearer home, Father, we realise that the eyes of all Britain and indeed the world may be on our city of Coventry in the coming months as we showcase ourselves as a city of culture. We pray, Father, that we may be able to take up any opportunities given to express your love and hope in the world. Thank you, Father, for the way in which our church has been able to continue its times of worship, prayer and Bible study through the pandemic. Thank you for the many folk who've given their time and talents to make this possible. We look forward to a time when we can return to meeting without fear, in person and enjoying fellowship together. Help our leadership as they look forward and try to discern how we move on and continue to be a presence for you in our city. We especially pray for our children's and young people's work as they begin to move forward and begin again to be more active. Finally, Father, we bring to you any whom we know who are in special need of comfort and love at this time. Remember those who are physically or mentally ill, in hospital, mourning the loss of a family member or friend, unemployed and desperately looking for work, in financial difficulties, or just feeling lonely and bereft. Bring to them, Heavenly Father, your peace which passes all human understanding. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life that we might live. Thank you, Father, that you have heard our prayers. Amen.
Call him. We saw his light break through the cloud of glory, whilst we were rooted still in time and place. As earth became a part of heaven's story, and heaven opened to his human face. We saw him go, and yet we were not parted. He took us with him to the heart of things, the heart that broke for all the broken-hearted, is whole and heaven-centered now, and sings in the strength that rises out of weakness, sings through the clouds that veil him from our sight, whilst we ourselves become his clouds of witness and sing the waning darkness into light, his light in us and ours in him concealed, which all creation waits to see revealed. Our final prayers are some words of St. Teresa of Avila, written in the 16th century. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. and yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now.